Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all as we come together in this place to praise and celebrate God. Several announcements for you. You'll want to check your bulletin for others, but just to let you know that today after this service, we're going to have an all-church conference to vote on becoming a one-board church leadership model, and we've talked a lot about that over the months, and we will have more information if you need it at that time. And the meeting will be here in the sanctuary. So those of you who want to stay will want to move down front, and those of you who have other plans for this morning can feel free to leave the sanctuary after the end of the worship service. Next Sunday is one of the most exciting days of the year. It is Youth Sunday. And I think three of our youth are going to give messages, three messages from the youth. And I want to encourage you to be here. Sometimes I know people say, oh, Youth Sunday, but this is going to be Youth Sunday. And I don't know if you all have heard or not, but it is a difficult time to be a teenager. I know it's always been, but you, church, have a role in supporting the teenagers of this place. And they need to see you here, see you supporting them, hearing them. And they're going to wrap up the mountaintop sermon series, so be here for them. And I'm excited to hear what they will bring to us. I know they've been working on it for a long time. On a different note, Ash Wednesday is coming. The 26th of February is Ash Wednesday, time to start the Lenten season. Ash Wednesday is a time when we come and start Lent, but also to remember who we are created to be, and to remember that we fall short, and to ask forgiveness. So I hope you'll join us for that here in the church at 7. And it looks like February 28th is a fun club night. And again, could you use helpers this time? Yes, Larissa could use some more helpers, so if you would help with Fun Club, see Larissa. I think that's all the announcements I'll make today, but please check your bulletin. Let's take time to greet one another. I encourage you to meet someone maybe you've never met before.
I'm Jane.
Are you Pritchard? I'm Roy.
How you doing?
All right, Jane.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
I'm sorry. I walked through.
Excuse me.
Hey, Joni.
Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you, darling?
Before the introit, I forgot. I didn't really forget, but I kind of did. We have a special guest in the house today. Dezen Lotong, our district superintendent, is here, and his wife, Han. And we're so happy to have you with us this morning. So welcome.
Congregational introit is number 103. It's also up on the screen. Verse 4 this week. This will be the last time. Then we're going into Lent. We'll come up with something new for our next Sundays of Lent. So would you please stand and then stay standing through the call to worship and through our opening hymn.
Thou reignest in glory, thou dwellest in light. Thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All laud we
Please join me in the call to worship. Every day, God calls each of us by name. Come listening for the word of God in the songs and stories that touch our hearts. Every day, God fills the world with good things. We come looking for signs of God's presence in the faces of loved ones, friends, and strangers. The goodness of God is all around us. Here we are, standing on holy ground.
And if there's any other kids that want to come on up and join us, Jameson? Okay, how's it going, you guys? We have a good week? We've got a 4-day weekend, don't we? Friday off and tomorrow off? We're pretty lucky, huh? Well, I want you guys to look around the space that we're sitting in here, right? What do you guys see in here, in this room? What do you see? People. I see lots of people. What else do we see? What do you see, Julia? Yeah, the big stained glass window back there. Yeah, that's a cool thing. What else do we see? You guys can look behind you, too. What else do we see? A cross. We have a cross up there. We have a big cross. We also have a cross on the altar, too, right? A table. It's called our altar. That's right. And what's on there? What did Jameson light today? A candle. That's right. These are all part of our worship space. We call this great big room the sanctuary. It's a really big word. Do you guys know what sanctuary means? Why we call this room a sanctuary? What do you think? It might mean people gathering together in a big place. That's a good definition of sanctuary, Julia. Yes, sanctuary just means something that is sacred or holy. So those are smaller words, but they're also really big words. The word holy, what do you guys think the word holy means? Anybody? Julia, what does it mean? It does sound like holly. It's like something happy. That's a good way to look at it. Holy could be happy. Or like the Holy Bible. We're getting there. That's true. So holy is somewhere where God is, right? That's what we would think of. We would think of this place as a holy space because God is here. Is God here right now? So tell me, when you guys are at your houses, is God there? Is God with you when you guys are at school? Yeah. Is he with you when you guys are playing sports? Yeah. Is he with you when you're at your friends' houses? Yeah, God is everywhere, right? So anywhere we go has the potential to be a holy place, right? But I want you guys to think about places you might go where we know God's there, but where you might feel him. Have you ever been somewhere and you felt God? So let me, like church, exactly. We feel God right here, right? So last week we talked about all the places we might go where we see awe, right? Where we see God's awesomeness, where we say, wow, when we see things. Today I want you guys to think about where we go where we feel that awesomeness, where we feel that wow. Instead of seeing it with our eyes, we feel it. Have you ever been somewhere where you really felt God? It's a pretty big idea. At where? At a wedding, you might see God. Anywhere we have church stuff, we might feel God, right? So we're in a room where we definitely feel God's presence, right? We know God is here. This is a holy place. But you might also feel God when you're out with your family. You might feel God when you're in the mountains or by the ocean. You might feel God when you see some of your favorite animals in his creation, right? So all kinds of places. So everybody, I want you to take a deep breath and close your eyes and think about where you see God just for a minute and see if we can feel him. So close your eyes, big breath. When we pause like that, when we take a moment with our eyes closed, we're really opening up our hearts to feel God. And he is here all around us. We just have to take a moment to feel him sometimes, right? So I want you guys to work on that. Think about this week. Think about some place you might have been where you would feel God, okay? Should we say a prayer? Put your hands together, you guys. Hey, God, we know you are everywhere. Help us to feel you in everything we do. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us. Amen.
I invite you to join me as we turn to God in prayer. We do pray to you, God, that there would be peace. We pray, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And we stop and we ask ourselves, do we mean that? Do we really mean that? And we look for you to give us answers, to give us strength, to guide us. We look for those places that we could connect with you, so that your strength can become our strength. We look for ways to continue to serve you in this place and beyond. And some days it's difficult and hard. And we're not sure how we are to act or who we are to be. When we find ourselves standing on holy ground, be with us. Help us to understand your presence in all situations, but particularly in those holy moments Let us draw strength from those moments. We come before you this morning in celebration, recognizing we are blessed people to be in this space, in this time. And yet we know that there are those among us who bring questions or aches or griefs this morning. And we ask that you would add your blessing there, that you would help us reach out on your behalf. We also come as a church this morning, ready to make decisions, and we ask that you would show us your way, the way that would lead us to best serve you in this place. We look around and we see all the gifts, the ways that you bless us in this place, and we remember the greatest gift of all, the gift of your Son, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to continue our prayer as we join together today in our song of faith, which is also our mountain song. Shout to the Lord. As we remember the gifts that God has given us, I invite you to think of those gifts and how you will return them here to the church so that we can do God's work in this world. I invite the ushers to come forward. Thank you. Pour out your spirit on these gifts that we return to you. Help us to see and to know where your loving touch is needed in this world. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation printed in your bulletin. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 22, verses 2. He said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. And from 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David at the place that David had designated, on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us be all.
Today is my last Sunday to talk to you about mountains. The youth will wrap it all up for us next week. But we've been in the middle of a series about mountain stories from the Bible because we are Mountain View. And it's important to remind ourselves sometimes of what mountain messages can be and what things come to us from remembering those mountain stories. Today's story came from a couple of different places. Thank you, Chris. About Mount Moriah. Mount Moriah isn't a mountain like we think of, and we have to always remind ourselves in these mountain stories, it's not the Rocky Mountains. It's more of a gentle mountain because people are always going to the tops of them. It's not like here where you have to prepare to climb to your 14er. It's nothing like that. It's gently rolling, and Moriah is particularly that way. Some of you have been there and seen it, but it is the Temple Mount, you've heard of that maybe. So don't think giant mountaintop, and that helps a lot, particularly in this story as we unfold it a little bit. So Mount Moriah appears in many places in the Bible story, but the couple that we're interested in is the first is Isaac's story. It's not a very happy story for Isaac at first, because Abraham, his father, says to him, "Come on, we're going to go make a sacrifice to the Lord." And being a good son, Isaac says, "Okay, Dad, great, let's go." And they start on the trail. And Isaac says to his father Abraham, "You have wood and you have the flint. You forgot to bring an animal to sacrifice." And he says, "Don't worry, Isaac. God will provide." All along, Abraham knows, though, that God has asked him to bring his son Isaac as the sacrifice. And as they go up the trail over and over, Isaac says, "Dad, this sacrifice, where's the sacrifice?" "God will provide." And they get to the place of making the sacrifice, and this is worse. Abraham ties Isaac's hands together, and Isaac says, "Dad..." Because Abraham is faithful in this story, Isaac is scared in this story. And just when things are about to go from bad to worse, Abraham hears a ram whose horns are caught in the bushes. And he said, "See, son, I told you God would provide." And they sacrificed the ram. Later in the biblical story, we see King David on Mount Moriah, talking to God, struggling, trying to figure out how he can be a leader and still live the life he would like to lead. And God says, "You can't. You can't. On this place is where my temple should be built, David. And you need to get your act together." There's a lot more to the story, but that's basically the idea there. And now comes Solomon in the story. And Solomon is finally going to build the temple. And you can read all about the temple. There's detailed description of the size and how it looks and what's to be where and the curtain and the whole thing is there. But why does Solomon decide to do that there in that place? Now some would say because his father David told him to. And as we've seen, biblical sons are very good at following the rules. But maybe there was more than just because his father said. Maybe it was because God told his father. Or maybe there's more about that place. There is one piece of the Abraham story that's so important. It's not a story that many of us like to think about what could have happened. But there's an important piece of the story. Because after everything turns out all right, God speaks to Abraham again. And he said, "Remember a ways ago when I told you that I promise you that I will be in covenant relationship with you. I will be in relationship with you and that your descendants will number greater than the stars in the sky. Remember that, Abraham." And maybe it was that covenant promise that made this a special place. Maybe it was that covenant. Have you heard that covenant theme in several of these mountain stories? Remember Noah's Ark? That was the first covenant story. And God said, "I won't destroy my people again." And then there was this covenant with Moses when God said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And this Abrahamic covenant promise. There's something about those promises that make these places special, that make them sacred, that make them holy ground. The promises that God gives to the people in the stories, but not just the people in the stories, but to all of God's people, including us. There's something about these places. Remember early on, I told you that the people in the biblical stories believed that God lived up there, and it's easy to see why. And God speaks from there and tells them, I am your God, and you are my people. And maybe that's why Solomon chose that place. Some people refer to those places as thin places, those places where one can understand the energy of the divine or the spirit of God. They can feel God there. Have you ever been to one of those thin places? That place where you know God's energy, where you feel God's spirit. Have you ever stepped on holy ground? Have you been in those spots? Some people say that the Isle of Skye off the coast of Scotland is one of those places. I can imagine with the mist and the moor and that feeling. I've never been there, but I can imagine what it might be like to feel God's presence there in strong and powerful ways. For me, one of those thin places is Chaco Canyon. Have you been there? Some of you may have been there. It's not easy to get to. It's a 60-mile dirt road to come upon the Chaco Canyon ruins. The ruins themselves are just like many other ruins you may have seen of ancient peoples in that Four Corners area of the United States. Ruins of stone, and then you start to imagine what it would have been like. Well, they know that Chaco Canyon was a place of like a Mecca, where people would come from all around to worship. And the circle that looks like the biggest circle kind of in the middle of the screen there is something called the Grand Kiva, maybe similar to a cathedral that we might think about, a place where people came to worship their God. Now, some would say that their God and our God aren't the same God. I would disagree. I would say God is God. You may come before God in different ways, call out to God in different names, but God is God. And the people would gather there in the Grand Kiva to worship, to make sacrifice, to pray, to ask God for things like good crops and good health, safety as community. Well, one day I was there, and I sat down in the Grand Kiva, and the people I was with had gone off to look at something else, and it was pretty isolated. It wasn't as popular as it is now. And I sat there, and I was all by myself, and I started to feel something buzz or hum, an energy, and I could feel it in my body. I could feel this buzz sound. And I could feel something I had never felt. It was amazing. And I wondered what it was, and I kind of looked around to see was somebody jumping up and down, but I was sitting on rock. And I realized it was energy, an energy from God. And it moved me greatly. Have you ever felt that kind of energy? And knowing that you were in a thin place, knowing that you are standing on holy ground, have you ever felt that kind of space and place? As I felt that then, I rejoiced and I was glad, because sometimes I need to be reminded of God's presence. It's hard to admit, but it's true. And I know that for many of you, and in 20 years of ministry, I've had people in my office telling me, I don't know what happened to God. Well, the easy answer is nothing. You're the one that isn't experiencing God currently. But that's not fair. And it's not right. Because we all have those times when we can't feel God's presence. And to have an experience where you have stood on holy ground, where you have felt that thin place, you can remember that feeling and remember, yes, there is God. Even on times when God feels distant, yes, God. And I started remembering that feeling, and it makes me feel empowered in some ways to know God with me, to understand that God's connection to us is thin indeed, that we can feel that very connection. And I thought about talking to you all about that, and I got a little worried. And the reason I got worried is because that physical, that emotional, might be off-putting to some of you. And to be honest, it would have been off-putting to me if I had not experienced it myself. Because some of us like to approach our faith from an intellectual way. We like to think about what we believe. We like to understand God that way. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And as I was thinking about that, at the same time this week, I started to understand something called, well, not understand, hear about something called the Mandelbrot set. Have you heard of this? Mandelbrot is the father of fractals. And you're seeing here before you a video based on the Mandelbrot set, which is a mathematical formula that others can explain, I can't. And you're seeing this, just zoom in, and this will help you understand why I was amazed to start thinking about this. I've learned about fractals a long time ago. They've actually only been named since 1975. And then Mandelbrot, who this is named after, started that, but it's expanded and grown to all kinds of areas. Geometry, yes. Physics, yes. Language acquisition, and even theology. There are people who say that the Mandelbrot set that you're seeing before you actually is the thumbprint of God. The thumbprint of God. That's powerful language, isn't it? Now, I don't know what God's thumbprint looks like or if this is really it, but wow. Wow. Something clicked for me, an intellectual way to understand the infinity of God. Because that's what fractals show us, is those patterns that repeat over and over again. This pattern is, this is layman speak, so those physicists in the room can explain it better, but this is actually showing you moving from one to zero, but never getting there. It uses imaginary numbers to get there. It helps us understand infinity, and if God does not speak of infinity, what does? The other thing that people use the Mandelbrot set to explain is the creation story. How amazing is that? Using science and faith together is what we're about, isn't it? As thinking people, as people who God created to think about the world around us, and yet to find God in the midst of this. People say, those who understand this more in depth say this, that in every life form is the seed of the next generation of that life form. Every generation holds the seed of the next generation. If that's not God, if that's not creation, I don't know what is. Sometimes those of us who are thinking people forget that God can be proven that way too. That we can understand God in ways that are difficult, yes, but make sense when we really start to think of it. And as I've been watching this, and I've watched this a lot this week, when Michael was looking to put it up, he had it up, and we both stared and watched and watched. It gets to be kind of hypnotic, doesn't it? It gets hypnotic, but it's amazing and fascinating. And as I have sat and watched this Mandelbrot set, this fractal go on, I've been moved again, almost like Chaco Canyon. Because somehow this has moved from my brain as I've read about all these things I don't really understand to hear. I can understand this intellectually and feel it as well. And when we bring those two things together, for me, that is the experience of God. And it is a thin place indeed. A thin place where we understand God present with us. And we need to understand that. Where do you find God? Where do you find God? Is it here in this church? Is it when you shake hands with someone on Sunday morning and see God in their eye? Is that a thin place for you? Is it standing in the mountains? Where do you cross that space and know God? I haven't given you homework for a few weeks, so it's about time. In this week ahead, look for your thin place. Look for it. How do you find it? Well, you have to be open to it. But you have to just take time. Because did you know that that thin place may not be this strange Mandelbrot thing? It may not be the Isle of Skye. It may not be Chaco Canyon. It might be your kitchen table. It might be your kitchen table. Because there may be where you encounter God in your devotion, in your scripture reading, or in the steam from your cup of coffee. Where do you find time to experience God? Because one thing I do know, church, is there's going to be a difficult day. I don't know which day, but I know that you will have a difficult day again. I know that there's going to be some hard times in all of our lives when we wonder, where is God? Where is God? So now, in this time, in this place, find that connection, whatever it may be for you. So when you need to turn to God, when God feels distant, you can say, oh, wait a minute. I remember. And in that time, find strength, find commitment, find covenant, find God in the mountains or other thin places. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able to sing our heritage hymn. We've been singing heritage hymns to remind us of our anniversary. And this one is How Firm a Foundation. go from this place looking for holy spots, holy ground, thin places where you connect with God. Go in peace. Amen.